This morning I found something that's really going to tie into what Pastor Gary is going to be talking about very soon, and that is the book of Job. And so in my Bible, in the introduction, it is kind of leading into trials in our life. And all of us, everybody goes through some type of trial. It might be your job, it might be loss, it might be friendship and arguments and things like that. So it can be something as devastating as the 9/11. I did know a gal that we lost from our former church that was a wonderful woman of God that we lost there. So this is the introduction of Job, and I'd like to read this to you. A plane goes down, an earthquake hits. A madman bombs a building. Christians and non-Christians alike pass away. Where was God? Does he really care? So many of us ask ourselves that. Why do good people suffer? Why do Christians get sick, lose children, watch mates pass away, lose their homes or jobs? Shouldn't those who truly love God be exempt from such tragedies? Does God really love us? Does he care when we hurt? Does he notice devout men and women dying in seemingly senseless ways? Where are you, God? The book of Job shows us how a faithful and godly man responded to intense and mind-boggling tragedy. Could God have protected Job from these tragedies? Of course. Can God protect you from tragedy? Absolutely. Does he? Many times he does. Then why doesn't he always? And I wonder about that myself. I've asked God that myself with the losses that I've had. But he has shown me, which I will share, incredible ways that he is walking this journey with me. And I praise him for it. How did Job make it through these tragedies with his faith intact? How could these tragedies actually have strengthened his relationship with God? Job never allowed his tragedies to cause him to doubt, thank you, Terry, God's love and care for him. He refused, okay. Yes, I don't want to drink Pastor Gary's. God, who wants a relationship with his people and who promises them an eternal home full of love, peace, and wholeness. If you give up that hope, then you invite yourself to a life of despair. And I have chosen. I'm not going to go here. I'm going to praise him always. Through my tears, through the anguish, through the intense suffering. Because I've told many, and I've shared this with Carrie, which I love you, Carrie. Now I truly understand, by losing my only son, God's sacrifice for his. It's much deeper than we could ever imagine. But God is here. We have to remember that. He cares. He loves us. And I hope that through sharing my testimony, that you'll be encouraged, that you'll trust him fully, and that you'll completely surrender everything you have to him. So now that I've kind of opened up with, whoa, we're going to stand up, ladies, and I want you to do something. I do this every morning now. And all I do is I just lift up my hands, and when I do this, I say, I praise you, Lord. And then when I lift them down, I say, cover me, Lord. So we'll do that three times. Ready? I praise you, Lord. Cover me, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Father, cover me. I praise you, Lord. Cover me. Hallelujah. Each one of you might be sitting with somebody. If you are sitting by yourself over there, scoot on over here. You are in the South. Honey, we are friendly. Come on over here. I want you to turn to somebody this morning. And I want you to just love them. I want you to turn to them, give them a great big teddy bear hug, and just say, I love you, sister. You see, that is something that I have discovered through my grief, is anywhere I go, everywhere I go, whether it's in a grocery store and there's a grumpy person behind checking me out, whether it's someone in line that, I gotta get that bus, I gotta get my kid, time is wasting, share your love. Give them that great big smile, because Christ is living in you. So be that open testimony and let that light shine. Because that one little gesture could maybe prevent somebody from taking their life, could maybe prevent somebody from saying something angry or hurtful or irreparable, they think, to a family member. There's always something, there's always hurt, and God is showing me through my own pain that there is a greater need for us to love. And I've been praying a lot about our new building, Terry, when we go in, and there's going to be, of course, new people that are going to be attracted to us. That we are the living body of Christ in that building, that they see a difference in our church, that they see a love, not people going, what's she wearing today? That we look at a person's heart. Okay. That we look at a person's heart as God would see them, because that's who we're meant to be. We're meant, you know, God has designed women in such an incredible way. We are the emotional beings that he wants us to just exude love. Let it spill forth from us. Country life, you can call me Mrs. or Miss Doolittle, because we own just about every other animal. My mother said no on pigs, and I said no to Tyler on snakes. That's just something I said. I draw the line right there. I'm not going to go. And farm life really teaches you a lot about life and death. With the farm animals, there are certain circumstances that happen. It's hard work, but it's rewarding work. So if anybody has a child that's doing this during the summer and they're too young to work, go find somebody that has a farm, because it'll be an incredible experience to them of hard work ethic, of knowing about the beauty of God's nature, love of life. It's an incredible thing. Tyler was very gifted to be able to go to his grandfather's farm a lot. He'd always point up to the sky and say, airplanes. Or he'd be, Grandpa, can I ride with you on the tractor? You know, so he really enjoyed that. Vacation Bible School, as Terry mentioned, was out in Gore, Virginia. Arlington, I caught a bus and we rode out to Gore. And I was kind of thinking, this is a really big seminary. Big tabernacle, it was huge. But God sort of, that was the day where he knocked on my door. He knocked on my heart. And it was like, come to me. I kept hearing that, come to me. And I'm thinking, I'm a farm girl. I'm strong. I'm independent. My daughter at two would say that. I'm independent. I can do it myself. So many of us have strong-willed children, I'm sure. But but through that time where I was baptized in the pool, he would continue, I knew, for the rest of my life, walk with me. And if you were to say would be my life leading up to now, I would have no idea that this is where he would take me. I would also tell some of my dear friends here, through this trial, I wouldn't change it, because I'm closer to God now than I have ever been in my life. Thank you, Lord. Then comes the teenage years. Leather mini skirts, high-heeled boots, rock and roll music, and you know where I'm going with that. I rebelled. God was not a part of my life. And from the music, from the influence, became dressed too sexy. Listen to music that, music is so important to the soul because your heart is the filter. And anything that your eyes see, that your ears hear, your heart is like a filter and it processes everything. So mommies, I would tell you, music especially, you listen to the words of what your children might be listening to and you pray about how, if you have to, somehow intercede. We live in a culture now where we are in a spiritual darkness of attack to our children. Whether it's in school, whether it's in friendships, and God is, I feel he is using me to say, either we're afraid or it's the too independent spirit, and we don't let Christ take over. And I haven't realized until Tyler's death how I was still in chains, how I was still bonded, because I would not release some things that I really needed to just completely surrender over to the Lord. And so now, by doing that, I feel so free. So free. I get married to a wonderful husband, and I ask for you all to pray for him because he is struggling right now, as any father or mom would be. I love him dearly, and I watched a movie that said every life is worth saving. So if you're having difficulties in relationships, whether it's with your spouse or family member, every life is worth saving. And you can come to that person in love and know that you are covered in the blood of Christ. So no matter what comes at you, you are able to stand strong and still love on that person and still be with that person. Because one day I know Reverend Jerry Falwell Sr., in his testimony of his book, his father did not know Christ until his deathbed, but he kept the love going. So I challenge all of us, share that love, keep that love going. And sometimes when you just feel like you want to, I have to count to 10 and put myself in a timeout. Because we all do that with our kids, but we don't tend to do that sometimes to ourselves. So go put yourself in a timeout and say, Lord, cover me. And when I walk out this door, let me be Christ in you. So with marriage, and it was a great time, and it would be rocky at times because I would lose many babies. They would be within a year apart. I really have this passion now to reach out to doctors to say, no more DNCs. I want my baby whole, and I want to bury my baby. No more DNCs. That is a passion that I have. Pray for me as I approach doctors that I know are godly men and women that might share this vision to help some of the lies that Satan is giving us now. When I look at the loss of my children, it doesn't matter if they were that I was able to birth them or not. A mother is going to grieve incredibly for that baby, because your body is already carrying that baby. Your body already knows it has life. And when you lose it, it's devastating. And I had a hard time going through the miscarriages, more so than losing my son, because I wouldn't surrender it to the Lord. So ladies, if anybody has suffered through that, surrender it completely. I am a living testimony to tell you that there is healing and there is hope and there is the power of God and the Almighty Spirit. And those babies you will see one day, and they will be alive and joyfully with the Lord. And so you too will be able to share and just fall in love with them all over again. And that's going to be an exciting time. I got a knock at the door. This is my beautiful boy. This is a picture in high school. He loved football, karate. He was a third-degree black belt. Many different things that he was able to accomplish in such a short life. My nightmare began at 11 o'clock at night. He had left on a Wednesday, right at the front door. Hugs, kisses, big bear hugs. Mom, I love you. Don't worry about me, Mom. I'll be back on Wednesday. I had been watching the Paris attacks all day on Friday, thinking, oh, Lord, please cover these people. What pain, what tragedy that they're going through. And you think about your kids a lot, you know, when you're hearing some devastating news, you think about that. So I'm texting them, I love you, just, you know, hope you guys are having a good time. Tessa's at James Madison. You know, give me a call, let me know what's going on. Tessa responded within about an hour, and Tyler didn't. And it kind of, you sort of put that on the back burner going, oh, he'll call. You know, he's known to call or text later. At 11 o'clock that night, I have two police officers out my front door. And they said, Mrs. Lawrence, yes. May we come in? I said, absolutely not. Well, we need to come in. I said, well, you're dressed in uniform, but I have no idea who you are. And my husband, who I just dropped off in Boston on a trip, I said, I'm by myself and I'm not comfortable with this. And we said, we have some news. And there's where the shock hit. And they said, can we stay with you? Do you have anybody? Do you want us to call anybody for you? And I knew that I couldn't tell anybody until I was able to tell Tim, my husband. I couldn't go to my parents who were close by. I wasn't prepared, knowing what would be to come. All night that night, I kneeled, lifted up my hands, crying out to the Lord in Tyler's bed. I need a miracle. Tell me it's not true. But I knew that the miracle was now because Tyler was in heaven. I did have a peace that washed over me instantly, and I was able to know, okay, Lord. Okay, but how am I going to get through this? I stayed up all night long texting Tim on the every hour. Honey, I need you. Honey, you got to call. Something's happened. Every hour. And he normally turns his phone off. He got the messages all. All I could see was just this box of messages. And then he had to get a flight home. Knew what he was going to have to come home to. He told me at the airport there was a little child that was running around his legs, just a little toddler, and his parents were, you know, close by, and he was just being a little two-year-old toddler running around. And he lost it at the airport. He lost it. He was able to get home. And there began the shock of it all, because what I knew we were getting ready to do, you don't ever want to have to do. To start telling grandparents and on down the line, and then drive down to James Madison to tell his sister. She lost her big brother. But I will say this. I look back at the 6 months that I really wasn't able to share or show grief to my parents because they were so distraught. I was so worried about them having a nervous breakdown, especially my mom, that I had to go to her pastor and say, please surround your women with her because I can't process that right now. I can't be her support right now. The Lord is covering me in a different way, and I can't do that. And I regretted that, but the Lord knew what I needed, and he was able to use me to ask for help. So no matter what circumstance you may be going through, this is another lesson that I've learned. Ask for help. Text a woman if you need prayer right away. I surely did that day. Texting everybody I could think of, please pray for my mom, please pray for my dad, please pray for us. And it could be right now after this service that you might need prayer for something specific. And you may think that it's the littlest little thing. Let me tell you, no thing is too little for our Christ. Nothing. We would get through the funeral and the love of many friends and family. And it would take me a while to realize that I needed to process this somehow. I've had some great, incredible books, if those who of you who are struggling with the loss, some books that have just really helped me say, it's okay if you can't think of what your first name is. It's okay if you can't get up out of bed one day. It's okay if you don't want to ever leave the shower because it feels too comfortable. It's okay if you go out without makeup, and I love makeup. It's okay if you go out without makeup. But it's okay with whatever thing that you're going through in your grief of your stage. And it's okay to reach out to a friend to say, please pray with me. Can you come over to the house? I haven't eaten in a week. There's days where I still don't eat. Can you just bring me some food? And if you as the friend see a need, don't ask if they need something. Just do it. Just say, I'm bringing you something today. Hey, I'm going to come over and pray for you today. If the Holy Spirit covers you in such a way that something is on your heart, then do it. Because he's already given you direction to do it. Don't ask for confirmation of the person who needs it. And I have learned that too. The day that I was picking up the death certificates, I was going to stop by the church here, and I was looking for prayer. What I did not realize is that I walked into another funeral of another boy and a family hurting. And I sat in the back, and all I could do was just pray over the people in attendance. And I waited, and I came up at the end to this mom and said, I love you. I'm praying for you because I lost my son a week ago, and I know exactly what you're going through. And she grabbed my arms, and we just locked eyes because we knew that we could be there for each other. I share this in such a way that God has given me so much grace, so much mercy, so much strength, really, because grief will take a toll on anybody who's lost a loved one, and we all have. It's something where you can become so emotionally and spiritually drained that in that time of need, you do need to be on your knees or in a bed and just say, Lord, completely cover me with your blood. I have felt the attacks of Satan with wanting to self-doubt me, going, oh, you weren't that good of a mother. Oh, you could have done this. You could have done that. He will find any loophole you have in your spirit to attack you. And you pray, Lord, you give me the grace. You pour your blood of protection over me because Satan's not getting in. Get behind me, Satan, through the name of Jesus Christ. After 6 months of privately grieving, I would allow my parents to see my own grief. And they said, thank you. We're so happy that we're not happy, but that we feel that we're now normal, because they would see me trying to be so strong for them that they were trying to be strong too and they couldn't. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to grieve openly. It's all right. There's been times where I've really needed the Lord, where the attacks of Satan have been so strong. And one time I remember I was at my kitchen window crying my heart out. I couldn't even move from the spot. I was just numb, completely numb inside. And I said, Lord, I need you. I need you right now. And after the tears subsided, here comes this incredible, I'm an avarian. I love birds. Love birds. Huge, huge bird that landed on a willow tree with the wingspan probably as wide as my arms. And I thought, okay, it's not a raven. It's not a hawk. It's not a buzzard. I know what they look like. I had to look it up. It was a golden eagle. We don't have golden eagles in Loudoun County. We have bald eagles, and I know what a juvenile bald eagle looks like. This was a golden eagle. His head was magnificent, and in the low lane of the afternoon sun, when it hit his head, it was like antique gold reflecting. Thank you, Lord. When you are at that most deepest, despairing time of your life, when you do cry out to the Lord, He's going to give you exactly what you need and exactly the time that you need it. Because He wants you to be strong. He wants you to boldly proclaim the gospel of Christ, who can heal any infliction that you have. And if it's not in this lifetime, then you know in heaven where we're going. And you know that it's going to be miraculous and happy times and the most beautiful color. For those of you who are artists, we can't even comprehend what heaven will be like. But it's going to be exciting. And okay, Lord, I'm going to wait, but I can't wait, you know. Recently, I went out to Tyler's grave, and I had lunch with him. You know, you kind of talk. I know that his spirit has gone to heaven, but still, it's hard for you to want to let go of a gorgeous, gorgeous, beautiful body of a son. It's hard to let go. And that day, I was praying, Lord, I know I need to let go because I know He's with You. You've given me signs and wonders. You have shown me in incredible ways. You have given me the peace that surpasses all understanding because I know He's with You. I said, I just need some help, Lord, because I don't go out to the grave very often. And I'm thankful in a sense that He is a little bit farther away. If He was local, I think I would have camped out there for 6 months. But during this time that I was having lunch and reading my Bible, talking with the Lord, and just having that private time, I again was wanting and wandering. And a lot of times if Satan is trying to doubt where my son is, that's when I have to say, Lord, cover me, remind me who You are. Show me in some way. Because you know Satan's always going to want to do this. And you know that I have promised You until my last words are on my lips, I will praise You. When the tears had subsided again, I looked up. And two pure white doves flew right at eye level across the graveyard. They weren't seagulls. I know what they are. So you see, through this trial that I'm walking, I'm asking God, give me strength. Give me wisdom somehow that I can share my heart and share my love for You and let every woman know that is going through something in their life that there is healing. Because I am being healed as I stand up here. Then I'm able to stand up here and talk without breaking down, without my knees aren't even shaking, which is a miracle, but they're not even shaking. He has given me the joy. He comforts me, and you will feel the warmth of His protection and His love. When you ask for it, it is a covering. It is a complete covering that we have. So as I walk through this valley, they say a parent who loses a child is an average of 7 to 10 years of grieving before you see yourself come out the other side. I have a dear friend of mine, Debbie Kofelt. She lost her husband and her son, 8 years old, Matthew, at the same time. It was a double funeral. She was one of the ones who first came to me. And she said, Nita, she said, you have a long way to go. I said, I know. I said, but when we have God on our side, it doesn't matter how long it's going to take. Because when I can't walk it on my own, He's going to carry it for me. And he is. Amen. So now, as we all strive to the Psalm 31 woman, another thing that's really on my heart is the lie of abortion. The majority of women that are having abortions are Christians. Most of it is for inconvenience's sake, not the right time. And the Lord, on the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade and the March for Life downtown, I had such a strong, this is before I lost Tyler, had a strong conviction to go. And I would hear testimonies of women from Silent No More who regretted having it. Because what even doctors won't tell you is that you're going to grieve for that baby too. And it's so hard to forgive you. The Lord forgives you automatically. Just ask for it. I've met many women who have gone through that trial. I've done many studies through it. But just remember one thing. God will cover you. He will completely heal you. And if you believe and just say, Lord, take this away from me. I know I have sinned. But Father, cover me and give me healing so that I can forgive myself. And you will be able to. You will be able to. This election is going to be very important for all of us. Because as I do more research, there are many testimonies out there, especially from doctors now, that will explain in detail. And I had to pray, Lord, I don't want to see what you're going to show me. But show it to me anyway. There's testimonies of a doctor that will explain in detail if you want to know exactly what the procedure is. And I'm not going to go into that. But for those of us who have not suffered an abortion, I encourage us to look at that information. I also encourage us to look at the testimony of Carol Everett, E-V-E-R-E-T-T. She is now a pro-life advocate. She was an abortionist and had 4 abortions herself. And she will explain what the abortion industry does to our girls when they're on college campuses and they go to the college health clinic and they want contraception. It is a black market, dark system that I think all moms need to be aware of what is happening to this generation. And I pray that when we go before the Lord before election, and we say, Lord, you show us, you convict our heart. We want to stand on biblical principles to answer to you. Father, give us the wisdom to do that. And I pray for those who have not forgiven them, forgiven yourself. Allow it to happen, so that you'll truly be free and that you can reach maybe somebody else who might be contemplating. It's worth tremendous years of freedom and not pain. Thank you, everybody, for letting me come up here and share bits and pieces of my story. I really appreciate it. And thank you for praying for me. I've had to pray for courage to do this and share from my heart. But I know that the Holy Spirit will always use us in a way that maybe might help somebody else. And if he can do that, Lord, then use me. Whatever way, shape, form, or capacity. I would love to see us all, maybe Terry, something to think about, is maybe get a group of women to go on the March for Life. You see a lot of college students, a lot of campuses. I haven't run into too many churches. Haven't seen a lot of church groups come out to those things. And we need to do that. I would love to see us do that. So prayerfully consider. There's a song that Tyler sang. I can't stop holding up his picture. There's a song that Tyler sang in his senior year of high school. It's by Helen Baylor. And I asked Terry if she would allow me to share this with you, and she so lovingly has agreed. Tyler sang this song at his senior graduation, and I really pull from this song a lot because it is a song of praise to our Lord in such a very deep way. And when there's times of the grief where I'm having another deep moment of anguish, I can lift up my hands with the tears pouring down my face and sing this song because I know who holds tomorrow, and he holds my hand. Thank you.